a session on Bible games. Bible games are a fantastic way to bring your class to life. They're a fantastic way to review. Let's talk about them briefly, and I think we can get this in. Years ago, my first year out of Bible college, I was on staff at a small church in Southern California, right on the border, 12 miles from the border. And a little girl in junior church one morning brought a Bible game in. It was Bible tic-tac-toe. She said, "Mr. Ed, can we play this today?" I looked at it and said, "Well, if we have time." And I tried to shorten our song service and play the game that day. And it was a tablecloth. They had the grid, and then you're supposed to use X's and O's with the knives and forks. And Dawn Boone, the little girl, had actually brought the knives and forks too. So we played the game, just kind of a trivia game. And the kids all said, "Can we play that next week?" And so I said, "Dawn, bring it again." And so we play the next week and the next week. Well, about the fourth week, I started writing questions for my lesson, and we used the Bible game to review the lesson, and it was more than just fun. It had a distinct purpose in that way. And I hardly ever teach a group of kids without having a Bible review game afterwards. So let's talk about Bible games and why you use them. By the way, let me back up and say, there were a couple people that bought the Bible game CD. Did you buy that? A couple people bought that? And if you have that, you have my permission to duplicate it and give it to other people if you want to. I have copyright on it. Feel free to make as many copies as you want to give to some other people if you would. Okay, let's talk about Bible games. Here is a typical Bible game. It's on a flannel board. That would be 27 by 36 inches if you're on an actual flannel board. At that size, those circles are about 3-inch circles made of felt. When a child answers a question, you ask a question, you have a signal for them to stand. When they stand and ask the question, if they answer correctly, then they come and play the game. The child would come to the board, take off a circle, on the back would be a number between 1 and 10, and that's the number of points they scored for their team, boys against the girls, okay? And then playing this game zonk, if they get a blank one with no number on the back, that's a zonk. If you get a zonk, you stop, you lose your points for your turn, you go back to your seat with nothing. So you don't want to have a zonk, okay? And so usually I won't tell you the ratio of how many zonks are in there, but let's play the game for a couple minutes here and just get a feel for it, okay? Let's pretend we've just done the story of creation. We've been into Genesis 3, the fall of man, Adam and Eve and all that. Let's ask a few questions. Sir, are you going to be my Bible game spotter? Okay, if you would choose the first person to stand up after the clap, okay, if you would, and then that person would come and play the game. We'll just play a game for a few minutes just to let you get the feel of it, okay? Question number one, we'll have it go to the girls, then we'll go to the guys. It'll be guys against girls, back and forth. We'll start with the girls. And here's the question, who's going to win, the guys or the girls? Okay, raise your hand, do you think the boys are going to win? Raise your hand, do you think the girls are going to lose? That was settled so easily, was it not? Was it not? Let me run through these real quickly, and then we'll get into the game, okay? Let's see here. Here's a game called Spy Search. That's Jericho, and you can see there's Rahab the spy. There's a couple of dogs in there. There's a couple of spies there. Anyway, you draw a circle. It has 1, 2, 3, or 4. Then you would choose 1, 2, 3, or 4 houses in Jericho. These are on an overhead transparency, and so you have a penny covering each one. Then you take off the pennies and reveal the house. That was just one for the overhead projector. Here's one we played recently called Mouse on a Mission, and you see you're choosing a piece of cheese and see what the score is. If you find peanut butter, you get 1,000 bonus points. You never lose bonus points, and then you just keep going as long as you want to. If the word double comes floating up, the next two choices double automatically. You play until the cat comes if you want to, or you stop before your cat comes. If the cat comes on your turn, you stop, you lose your points, you go back to your seat with nothing. So you can stop before you get a cat, if you would, okay? I'm trying to just show a variety. Then once you stop before the cat, you choose a mouse hole. Choose a mouse hole, please, sir. 1, 2, 3, or 4. Three. Spanish, 1, 2, 3, 4, 0. Number 3, okay? 3, 0. And we have the poison. You're a dead mouse. I'm sorry, sir. We lost the points on that one. Anyway, that's Mouse on a Mission. Why play Bible games? Number one, Bible games make learning fun and exciting. Bible games make learning fun and exciting. If you're afraid of the word fun, use the word enjoyable. Your class ought to be enjoyable. Number two, Bible games encourage participation. Every class has Joe Cool. He sits on the back row, he leans his chair back against the wall, asks a question. I don't know. He doesn't answer questions, doesn't know the memory verse, doesn't sing. Why does he come? Well, play a Bible game and watch Joe. He'll sit there for the first 4 or 5 questions. All of a sudden, on about the 6th question, his hand goes up for the first time. And once you can participate in the Bible game, he'll also participate in other parts of the game. Or the lesson hour, I mean. I've seen it so many times. Number three, Bible games involve the entire class. Bible games involve the entire class. The kid on the front row, the kid on the back row, doesn't matter. They'll get involved in the game. Number four, Bible games are an excellent method of review. The educational experts tell us we should spend basically 1/3 of our teaching time reviewing old material, 2/3 teaching new material. Now you stand before a class of junior high girls, let's study the life of Jonah, let's talk about Jonah, and they say, oh, I've heard that one. We've heard them all. No, you haven't heard them all. But anyway, what you can do is focus on that game. Number five, Bible games help evaluate our teaching. You get an answer from a child, it's a strange answer, you realize they didn't catch it the way you thought they did. You can evaluate. Number six, Bible games can correct wrong impressions. I remember I was playing a Bible game in a church in Georgia, and a little girl answered the question. The question was, why should we live for Jesus after we're saved? Her answer, so we can go to heaven. Right or wrong? That's wrong. So I took that moment right there and said, no, nobody goes to heaven by being good or working for it. You go to heaven because you receive the Lord Jesus, you're saved by faith. Give you a chance to correct that wrong impression. Number seven, Bible games may be used to stress important points. I typically write a group of questions before the Bible game, write them out, and then focus on the aspect, the thrust of the message is the questions for the Bible game as well. So it's a good way to review. Okay, using Bible games effectively. Number one, make the games fun and exciting. What I'm saying basically is relax your class rules. Let the kids have fun. Let them get excited. It's going to be a good time. Number two, ask questions that are easy to understand. No need for funny questions. No need for trick questions. Just straightforward, honest questions. Number three, ask questions that relate to the lesson. When we first started Bible games, Dawn's Bible game, it was just basically Bible trivia. What was the name of the first book in the Old Testament? How many books in the New Testament? Where was Jesus? Just Bible trivia. Finally, I realized I could use this to review the lesson and reinforce the important points. Number four, use both factual and Bible truth questions. Factual is just the bare facts of the lesson. What was the name of the king? What was the king wanted and couldn't have? And in the application, why did God say such and such? You can see the difference in the questions there. Number five, address questions to the entire class. So you ask the question first, pause for a moment, and then address it to one particular person. Number six, accept only correct answers. Now here's this visitor. This little girl came for the first time. She's sitting in the front row. She gives you a wrong answer. And you want to spare her feelings. So, well, okay, that's close enough. No, if it's not true, it's not true, okay? That comes first. Number seven, repeat the correct answer so that all can hear. So the kid in the first row whispers his answer. You hear it. Nobody else hears it. Repeat it. And then he comes forward to play the game. Number eight, don't allow one student to monopolize the game. And you would not believe how many times they'll have a game spot and they're choosing just from this one side. Here's 12 kids playing the game and here's 200 kids going crazy. Look over here, look over here. So you're going to pick from different parts of the crowd for your answers. Number nine, set a time limit. The games are fun, they're exciting, they bring your class to life, but don't play a game the entire church hour, okay? Have your lesson, your Bible message first, that's priority. Then afterwards you can use it for review in the game. And then number 10, use a variety of games. When I had my own junior church, I'm in the same group every day, week after week after week. I play a game one time, and then we play it a second time the next week, and then after that we put it away and play it. You know, so there's always variety,